Lamentations chapter number 3. It will be a this is an interesting chapter. I think everybody has a set of notes. So before we get into any of the text, I'm going to walk through a few of the notes for you. Few of the comments for you, starting at number one in your notes. Chapter 3 contains a description of the personal sorrows of one prominent man. And of course, we know that to be Jeremiah. This man was distinguished by his position as well as by his sufferings. When you go through and you read all of Lamentations together, you will know quickly who it was about. Number two in your notes, this is evident from verse 14. If you look at verse 14, it says, I was a derision to all my people and their song all of the day. So we see specifically where it says in your second note there where it is said he had become a derision to all the people. This could only happen to one who stood out before the eyes of all the people, which would have been Jeremiah, which was the prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah, which was the southern kingdom. The kingdom at this, you know, at this point in time is divided. And that's what you need to keep in mind. You had a divided kingdom, and Jeremiah's message specifically to Judah, all right? Number three in your notes. Next, he is described as one burdened with sorrows more than any of the others. And I'm sure Jeremiah was. He carried the burden of the people, especially because of what was happening and because of what was taking place. And so note number three for you, I put down there the prophet Jeremiah would be this man. That's who it was. All right. And let's look at verses 1-3. And you'll notice in these opening verses, and I'm just going to kind of hit a highlight or two. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we're going to come back to these three. But notice the opening words, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. All right? So you see, even from Jeremiah, Jeremiah understood and knew exactly what was taking place and where it was coming from. Number four in your notes, the details beginning at verse 52, if you look at verse 52, undoubtedly refers to what happened to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 38. If you look at verse 52, my eyes chase me sore like a bird without cause. That's in chapter 3 and verse 52. All right. You get some time, you might want to go read Jeremiah chapter 38 and give you a little bit of insight into what was taking place. Number five in your notes, this isn't interesting. I don't know how you do Bible study, but if you do an inductive type of Bible study, which is what I do, all right, there are certain things that you just go through and you circle and you highlight and you pay attention to. For instance, one of them being designations to God Himself or the name of God that you find. Now, here's something that's interesting. It's interesting to note that the name of God is frequently mentioned in chapter 1, specifically verses 5, 9, 11, 12, 14, 15, 17, 18, and 20. In chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. The name of God is used. You come to chapter 3, the first 16 verses is not the case. If you look at number 6 in your notes, in chapter 3, it's interesting to note that God is spoken of in verse 1 through 16 in the third person. It's all in the third person. All right? Then in verse 17, he is addressed in the second person. And you'll find that change. And then when you get to verse 18, in verse 18, he is distinctly mentioned by name. For there through the remaining portion of chapter number 3. So there's a segment there. God is referred to strictly and only in the third person, one verse in the second person, and then verse 18 in the remaining verses by the actual name of God. That's interesting. Now, I know somebody's going to answer, well, why is it done that way? Why is it so interesting? Well, what you're going to see here is a dialogue specifically from the heart of Jeremiah. As Jeremiah sees what has occurred, and now he is going to speak, understanding and realizing that what has occurred is from the hand of God Himself. And so he refers to Him in the third person. Okay, till we get to verse 18. Number 7 in your notes, this chapter, chapter 3, is probably, you know, if I were to ask you, how many of you have ever heard a pastor preach a message out of Lamentations chapter 1 outside of a Bible study series? You don't. Now I'm going to ask it this way. How many of you have heard a pastor preach a message using Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22 through verse 26 as a text? Okay? I've used it before. Okay? You'll hear me refer to it a lot. All right? And that's right in the heart of chapter number 3. Okay? And you're going to see that in verse 22 through verse 26. All right? It's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not already consumed. All right? His compassions, they fail not. As a matter of fact, they're new every morning. All right? And so we hold on to that little bit of hope. Now, it's interesting because of where this is placed. Okay? It's actually what you're going to discover. That was the hope of Jeremiah himself. Okay? Even in spite of all that had taken place. All right, so we come to number 8 in your notes. All right? Jeremiah understood that the affliction he had experienced was the result of God's judgment. So let's take verse 1 through verse 3, and we'll just read back through them. And I want you to pay attention to some of the phrases that Jeremiah has penned for us. He said, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." In other words, Jeremiah knew immediately where it came from. It came from God, from the hand of God himself. Verse 2, "He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light." The phrase, "he has led me," is interesting, "and brought me into darkness." If you look at the actual Hebrew text there, if you look at the Hebrew word, it speaks of, and basically you can look at it as, "he's driven me," okay? He's made me to walk this direction. So when you look at it, "he's led me, he's driven me, he's made me to walk into darkness, but not into light." I'm going to tell you something, that's a difficult place to be with God. Okay? Look at verse number 3. And notice what Jeremiah says. "Surely against me is he turned. He turns his hand against me all the day." Just Jeremiah is at a low spot. Okay?
Jeremiah
is the prophet.
Exactly.
Sure. And let me tell you what he's relating here too. What he's relating is he's connecting with Judah and what he's seeing. Okay. And he's seeing this being turned against Judah, and he's identified himself with it as well. Okay. So he sees this is us. It's not a me and them, it's a us. Okay? So what you're seeing here is the heart of Jeremiah himself, as he pours it out here in chapter number 3. Number 9 in your notes, there was no relief from the constant awareness that God had turned his hand against the afflicted one. Hey, Jeremiah wound up being thrown in the dungeon. I mean, down in the muck and the mire, okay? He ain't done anything, okay? And here's the tough part about it. God told Jeremiah that he was going to have a difficult It was going to be difficult, okay, for him. You know, I wonder how many of us would sign up for that if we knew at the beginning it was going to be difficult. Huh? Think about old Amos. God told Amos, said, "Yeah, you're going to go speak to them. They ain't going to listen to you." Well, how many of us would have said, "Well, God, you probably ought to find somebody else, okay? I don't know that I want to go. I want to go." Listen, Hosea and Amos, those two books together, if you take Lamentations and Hosea and Amos and read all three of them together, you'll find very interesting as they all three prophesied during this period of the division of the kingdom, and read some of the things that are very similar between all three of the prophets when you look at them. All right? Number 10 in your notes. This highly figurative passage that we're going to see in verse 4 through verse 6 effectively communicates the severity of the affliction. Look at verse 4. It says, "My flesh and my skin has he made old." In other words, he's made it to waste away. And watch this. "He has broken my bones." That's the severity, the extent of just the anguish that Jeremiah was. Now understand, this is figuratively speaking here. Okay, God didn't break all of Jeremiah's bones. Okay, so don't think that that's what God did. It's a figurative. That's the load that he felt. Okay. Verse 5. He's built against me, or in other words, he's compassed against me. He's compassed me with gall and travail. In other words, gall and travail, they're speaking of bitterness and hardship. That's what Jeremiah was undergoing. It was a bitterness and a hardship that was there. And then verse 6, as it says, "He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old." As those who have already died, okay, into those type of environments is where Jeremiah found it. Look at verse or number 11 in your notes, okay? "It is compared to the weariness of aging and the pain that comes from broken bones." That's the degree that Jeremiah, that's the load that Jeremiah was under, okay? Number 12, "The intensity of the suffering is compared to the darkness of the abode of the forgotten, departed dead." The darkness that's there. I mean, can you imagine being in that place, okay, as a prophet of God, to find yourself in that type of situation and type of environment? Now, I will tell you something. We have some missionaries tonight that are in some dark places. They're in very dark places. And the load and the anguish that they experience and the burden that they experience is amazing within itself. Okay. Number 13 in your notes. "Jeremiah felt as though God had built a wall around him and bound him with heavy chains to make sure that there was no escape from his affliction." This is just where Jeremiah was. You're getting this from the heart of Jeremiah. Okay? Look at verse 7 through verse number 9. "He has hedged me about," or "he has walled me about, that I cannot get out. He's made my chain heavy. And also when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has enclosed my ways." In other words, he has blocked my ways with hewn stone. "And he has made my paths crooked." Number 14 in your notes. Okay, what did Jeremiah mean by all of this? "Like a prisoner in a dungeon, his cries to God went unanswered." Do what? I don't think so. What Jeremiah was sharing with us and what was experienced was just the position that Judah had come with God and the extent of it and the judgment of God. See, one of the things that we so often talk about is we talk about the love of God. God's a loving God, but one of the few things that we often talk about is the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And for folks to understand, and here's what folks need to understand. Judgment is coming. And I don't think what we read here doesn't even begin to touch what's coming. Now, this is for the nation of. Now, keep in mind, the prophets that we have in the Old Testament. The kingdom is divided at this point. So you have some of the prophets that we have in our Bible, some of the minor prophets that we have and the major ones as well. Some of them prophesied and their ministry was strictly to the northern kingdom of Israel, some strictly to the southern kingdom of Judah. There were a couple of them that had overlapped between the two, between both of them, both Israel and Judah. Okay? Let me tell you something. Judah and Israel, yes, both of those, they had come to a place with God. Okay? Matter of fact, reading the book of Hosea, if you want to see just how far they had come, go read the book of Hosea and see what is said about the tribe of Ephraim and what God says about the tribe of Ephraim. And matter of fact, when you go to Revelation chapter 7, I believe it is, where it lists the 12 tribes, the 144,000, the tribe of Ephraim and Dan are not mentioned. Okay? Because of the judgment that came from God. So judgment, okay? Judgment is significant. It's important, okay, that we understand that. And what you're seeing from Jeremiah is Jeremiah's pouring out his heart over the affliction that he. I mean, this is Jerusalem. Keep this in mind. This is Jerusalem. I mean, this is the city that God has placed his name on, okay? This is the people that God has placed his name on. That is correct.
Go this far, then I'm going to do this. And if you don't repent, I'm going to do this three times. And they didn't.
Well, go all the way. Okay. If you want to see how far they'd come, go all the way to the book of Exodus. When God led them out of the wilderness, and he led them across the Red Sea, okay, and into the wilderness, right? God led them, all through the wilderness. There was something that God said over and over and over and over again. God's concern was that as they rose up on the mountaintop, okay, that they would forget him. When they went into the promised land, God had told them when they went into the promised land, you are not to engage in any relationships with those that are there. You're to go in and destroy them. They didn't do that. What did they do? They entered into relationships with them. Okay? And God knew. God told them over and over again. I'll tell you what. If you want a classic example of where they are, go read the book of Judges. And you'll see the cycle. Okay? The continual cycle. And so is it any wonder that Israel and Judah are in the condition that they're in at this point? Okay? That they're even here at this point. Okay? How many of y'all remember Jeroboam and Rehoboam? Okay? When the prophet came to Rehoboam, okay? And when the kingdom was divided, 10 tribes to the north, 2 to the south. Okay? When Jeroboam went to the north, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel was Samaria. Okay? So when Jeremiah and them went all the way to there, it was quite a trip all the way down to Jerusalem, he said. So do you remember what Jeroboam did right out of the starting gate? Huh? Yeah, he set up two, right? Two calves. And said, so lest they go to Jerusalem to worship and don't come back, we'll make it convenient. One of the worst things we can do today is to make serving God and worship convenient. Okay? That's where Israel was. That's where Judah was. Verse 7 through verse 9. I mean, when you look at it, You know, it's like people, what Jeremiah was dealing with here, it's like people seeking their way out of a maze, right? How many of y'all have ever been in a maze, a big maze? I'm talking about a huge maze, okay? Not one you could see over, okay? Yeah, some of those old-fashioned cornfield mazes, okay? And let me tell you, and a lot of times you find yourself in those mazes and whichever way you turn for relief, it was blocked, okay? Well, let me tell you, that's what Jeremiah is looking at this point. It's like a maze. Every direction he's turned is blocked, okay? Number 15. And I put this in here. One of life's darkest moments is to experience the absence of God and to have your prayers go unanswered. Can it happen with us? Yes. It can. Okay? It can. Number 16. God is now compared to a wild beast who has pounced on his victim and is tearing him apart. Let's look at verse 7 through verse 9. Or verse 10 through verse 11. I'm sorry. Pay attention to verse 10 through verse 11. Number 18 in your notes. God had not only cut off all avenues of escape, but was actively pursuing his victim to bring about its total destruction. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. He was unto me as a bear, laying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He's turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He made me desolate. And that word pull there, the Hebrew word means to be torn apart. To be torn. Okay? I mean, that's where Jeremiah finds himself. Look at verse number 11 again. He's turned aside my ways and he's pulled me in pieces. He's torn me apart in pieces. All right? Number 19. Next, God is compared to a skilled archer who takes deliberate aim at his target and hits the bullseye every time. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. He's bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow, or as a target for the arrow. And then verse 13, he has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins or my inward parts. Do you notice all down through here the use of the word he or his? 25 times to be exact. 25 times. God's referred to in the third person. It's tough, isn't it? What you see is a picture of the heart of Jeremiah breaking over Judah. And he associates and identifies himself with what's going on. Now understand, Jeremiah also went through a lot. To fully understand and get a hold of chapter 3, you need to go read the book of Jeremiah. And see what Jeremiah went through. That with the nation, that is correct. Exactly correct. What you're seeing is the heart of Jeremiah, like I said earlier. You're seeing the heart of Jeremiah as he is identifying himself with what's taking place. And understand also, Jeremiah was in the dungeon. Jeremiah was cast into the dungeon, okay? And he didn't do anything to deserve to go there. God let him go there. You know, we get this mindset sometimes. Well, you know, I'm the servant of the Lord, okay? I mean, I shouldn't have to go through any difficulties, okay? Sure, go look at Hosea and Gomer, okay? Okay. All right, was it difficult? Sure. How about Ezekiel? Huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah, go read the prophet Ezekiel. Okay? Matter of fact, God told Ezekiel, I want you to go preach to the valley of dry bones. Which was a picture of where Israel was, okay? And of course, Ezekiel asked the infamous question, can these bones live? Or the question was asked, can these bones live? Then Ezekiel said, what? God knows, okay? Number 20 in your...
Their present suffering is comparable with their experiencing now.
Number 14 in, or number 20 in your notes, okay? This is just basically what Brother Charles had said. Verse 14 and verse 15 is descriptive of an individual who finds no sympathy even among his own people. I mean, how was Jeremiah seen even by the nation of Judah? That's correct. The false teachers, okay? The false prophets. All right? Look at verse 14 and 15. He says, and watch this, and we read this earlier. He says, I was a derision, okay, to all of my people. In other words, I was, basically, let me tell you what he said. I was a laughing stock. Let me ask you a question. Was Noah a laughing stock? Huh? Sure. Until one day. Until it started raining. Yep. Now all of a sudden, maybe he knew just a little bit more, okay? And we figured he knew. Yes, I did. I'd heard that, yep. Verse 14, he said, I was a derision or a laughing stock to all my people and their song all the day. In other words, a mocking song. Let me ask you a question. Did they, how many of y'all remember the account of Elijah? No, Elisha. It was Elisha, I think it was. There was a group that mocked Elisha, wasn't there? Yeah, called him with his bald head, didn't he? Huh? That didn't last long, did it? Huh? See, all y'all got bald head, I love you. I think it looks great. Okay. Look at verse 15. Notice as it continues, he's filled me with bitterness. And he's made me drunk with wormwood. Right? Number 21 in your notes. Instead, he is the object of their ridicule and their laughter, thus making his suffering even the more bitter. So imagine the bitterness, okay, that's experienced there by Jeremiah. Number 22, Jeremiah reached the lowest ebb of despair in verses 16 through 18. Let's read. Wormwood. Wormwood is a very bitter. It's always, whenever you see wormwood associated in Scripture, it speaks of bitterness. Okay? Look at verse 16 through verse 18. He's also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He's covered me with ashes or rolled me in ashes. Okay? Verse 17, now notice it changes now from third person to second person. And you have removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity or happiness. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Number 23 in your notes, suffering and what seemed to be the Lord's indifference had driven him to this conclusion. It appeared to Jeremiah that God was just indifferent towards it. Okay? And it drove him to that point. That's where he was. Let me ask you a question. Can we get to that point today in our relationship with God? Yeah, we can. And it's a dangerous place to be. It's a difficult place to be. You know, the worst thing, I've often said this, the worst thing you can do, the worst place you can be in your life is to where the presence of God is no longer felt. Number 24 in your notes, the sufferings were so deeply impressed in his heart that he found himself constantly thinking about them. His memory left him depressed and despondent. Look at verse 19 and verse 20. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall or the bitterness. Verse 20, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Let me tell you something. He was depressed. He was despondent. Okay? But that's not the end of the story. Okay? It is not the end of the story. And I'm thankful that it's not. Okay? Because look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Number 25 in your notes. At the moment of his deepest despair and as he recalled his bitter affliction, a remarkable transition in his attitude took place. The hopelessness he expressed in verse 18 through verse 20 turned to hope as he remembered the Lord. Now look at verse 21 and verse 22. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies or His loving kindnesses that we are not consumed. Because His compassions, what? They fail not. And I'll go ahead and read verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. He is faithful. He is faithful. And His compassions and His mercies, His loving kindnesses are new every morning. As the psalmist wrote, joy comes in the morning.
What changed with Jeremiah?
We'll get into that next. I just wanted to wet your whistle with it. With the transition here. I'll give you a hint. He remembers. He remembers back to what? To the faithfulness of God. What God has done in his own life. Yes. Okay? What caused the turnaround for Jeremiah here? He remembered back. All right. Many of y'all know this song that we often sing. Great is Thy faithfulness from Lamentations chapter 3. Okay? Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. And He is faithful. Faithful how? To keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Folks, listen, He never promised us that the journey would be easy. But here's what He said. But I'll walk with you every step of the way. Amen? And He does that. He's just looking for us to be faithful and to be obedient to what He's called us to do. Amen? And leave the rest to who? To Him. All right. Any comments?